This morning we're going to begin a new series of messages and be looking at the book of 1 John, the first letter of the Apostle John to the churches. John is the person who wrote the gospel according to John, that great account of Jesus' life. He wrote three letters, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. And as we think about 1 John, we come to it with our own situation and questions sometimes, and we need to keep in mind also what the purpose was for writing the letter. If we come to this letter with certain kinds of questions, it will be very helpful to us. One of the questions that a lot of people have, a very basic one, is who is God? And what does God do, or what has God done? Do I belong to God? Am I born of God? Am I eternally alive? How can I relate to God? Can I commune with God or have fellowship with Him or know Him in an intimate way? How should I relate to other people? How do I know what's right and wrong? There's so many opinions about what's right and what's wrong. How in the world am I supposed to know? How can I detect lies and reject the lies that are all floating around out there? Why in the world is the world the way it is? Those are the kinds of questions that you'll find answered in 1 John. Who is God? Well, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is light. God is love. God sent His Son into the world so that we would live through Him. He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Those are the big answers to who God is and what He's done. Am I born of God? Well, anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Anyone who loves has been born of God. Anyone who does what is right has been born of God. Anyone born of God overcomes the world. Those are some of the statements that we find in 1 John about what it means to be born of God and how you can know. And we'll explore what those mean in greater detail. How can I commune with God? John talks about fellowship with God and being in God and God in us and knowing God. Not just knowing a few factoids about Him, but knowing God in a relational way. How shall I relate to others? The short answer is love. If you don't love your brother whom you can see, how can you love God whom you can't see? If you've got material goods and don't use them to help other people out, how can you say that you have the love of God in you? Those are the kinds of statements that John makes. How do I know right and wrong? Obey God's commands and walk as Jesus walked. If God commands it, do it. If He prohibits it, don't. Is it like Jesus or isn't it? Those are the kinds of guidance that we get in 1 John about knowing right and wrong. And how can you detect and reject lies? Well, all throughout this book, there's a lot about liars. This is the liar. This is the lie. This is how you lie to yourself. This is how you call God a liar. And you learn how to tell the difference between lies and truth. And why is the world the way it is? He says a lot about the world. The world and its desires pass away. There are a lot of antichrists who are loose in the world. The world listens to the people who are of the world. It listens to its own. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Would that maybe explain a couple of things? Why is the world the way it is? If you've got this cheery little program that the world's going to be better in the next couple of years and then stay better and then keep moving onward and upward, John will give you a little bit of a wake-up call. The world is under the control of the evil one, and it's going to be the way it is because it only listens to those who are of the world. So those are the kinds of statements and the kinds of answers that we find in John to some of the very biggest questions that people have about God and life and the world. And as we look at 1 John, our main theme is just children of God. That's the theme that comes up again and again. John talks at least 6 times, depending on your translation, about being children of God. 5 more times at least about being born of God. And at least 29 times he uses the word no. You're not supposed to use that word in religious matters, are you? You're supposed to say think or believe it's a possibility or have an opinion about. John says no. We know. He says over and over again, this is how you know. And the purpose of writing this book is I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you read the Gospel according to John, he gives his purpose statement there in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, Jesus did many other things that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. He wrote that book so that you would believe in Jesus, so that you would trust in Him and receive eternal life in His name. And He wrote this letter to build on that, so that when you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and receive life, then you know that you have eternal life. We know we are the children of God. We live in a very foggy time where you're not supposed to know for sure anything related to spiritual things or moral matters. But by the time you get done reading this book, you just might know something for sure. And when you go through John, you'll notice also the clear contrast. He does not operate in foggy conditions. He says it's light or it's dark. It's sin or it's righteousness. It's truth or it's lies. It's love or it's hate. Life or death. By the way, when you're learning Greek for the first time, you go to John's Gospel and to 1 John because they're the simplest. The vocabulary is very simple. The words are short. It's by far the easiest stuff to read in the New Testament. Somebody has said that John's writings are such that a child can wade in them and such that an elephant can swim in them, because the more you read and the more you ponder and the more you think, the more you discover the depth of these writings. But he has these simple words and these sharp contrasts. There's the eyewitnesses, like himself and his fellow apostles, and there are the false prophets. There is Christ, and there are antichrists. There's God, and there's idols. Keep yourself from the idols. You love God, or you love the world. You're children of God, or you're children of the devil. He's not your average mumbler. And if you want to get over the mumbles, this is very important, because we need to be able to live and die with confidence, not with a little bit of wishful thinking here or there. We need to be able to witness with clarity and with authority, because nobody gets saved by mumblers. And so I want to just begin 1 John simply by listening to the whole book. There's a lot of different ways to study the Bible and read it. Sometimes you study it a sentence at a time, even a word at a time. But it's also helpful to first just hear it the way it originally was, read as an entire letter to a congregation of people who were listening. 1 John begins by saying, I'm telling you what I personally saw and heard when God came in the flesh. When you begin the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how he begins his Gospel, and he begins his letter this way. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him because we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands, is a liar. But if anyone, and the truth is not in him, but if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to be in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, because its truth is seen in Him and you. The darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have already come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I'm not writing to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Father and in the Son. And this is what He has promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. But as for you, then the anointing you received from Him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. Anyone who continues to sin has neither seen Him nor known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, when the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not of God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete among us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he is a liar. Because anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, because everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God that he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who believes the Son has life. He who does not believe the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have before Him: that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. We pray, O God, that Your Word will find its place in our hearts, that we may know Jesus Christ, and in knowing Him, know eternal life, know the true God, and be ready, Lord, to live for You, to die for You, to testify for You. May this Word, Lord, live in our hearts, and Lord willing, as we consider it in more depth in coming weeks, may Your purposes be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.